I unclutter my life. I unclutter my life. I unclutter my life. I unclutter my life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. I unclutter my life. Now, isn't that interesting? We think that we unclutter our life merely because we don't have a lot of confusion and a lot of nonsense going on in our life. But you know who really unclutters their life the most beautifully? Is Rex. Rex is a beautiful example of an uncluttered life. When I take Rex for a walk in the morning and it's dark, I have his leash on so that I know where he is. And Rex stays pretty close to me, and he doesn't pull on the leash. He doesn't strain it to the end. Occasionally he'll go there when he sees something very exciting. But he'll pick up a little bush, and he'll swing it around and play with it and just have the greatest time with it. And when we come back from the walk after he's been on the leash, he is the happiest guy in the world. He has been with me. He has had me there to love him, to take care of him. He's had me there to watch over him. He's had me there to make him feel that he's wanted, make him feel that he's needed, make him feel that his life is worthwhile. He has created me, giving him that sense of belonging that is so very important. Now, on days when it's light out and he goes for his walk without the leash, and he's running around the property, checking here and checking there, he doesn't have the same respect for himself. When I call him to come, he doesn't always come. He'll learn to do that, but at the moment he doesn't always come. And when I get back from the walk, he is not the same as he is when I come back with him on the leash. When I come back with him on the leash, he feels so content. He feels so wonderful. His life is uncluttered. He has no problems because I'm there to take care of all the things in his life. And when he comes back after being able to run where he wishes to run, he thinks of perhaps all the things he's left undone out there, and the rabbits he's left uncaught, and the animals he's left unchased out there, and he just feels a little bit incomplete. Now, are we something like this? Are we something like a cluttered life? We want to go hither and yon, like the people who wait for retirement. They're going to retire, and then when they retire, they're going to travel the world and have a good time. Oh, what silly, silly people. They travel the world when they have arthritic joints. They travel the world when they are not able to do the things they'd like to do. I have a very dear friend who is extremely wealthy. And she and her husband had worked hard all their life and had produced well. And he always was at his office and always dedicated to his work. And they decided to sell off their holdings and retire. And so they took their several billion dollars and went down to a ranch where they raised horses and had a good time. And then he had a very intensive stroke. And the stroke paralyzed him entirely. Not entirely, but, you know, a great deal. And so he had to be in a wheelchair. And his wife took him around the world several times in a wheelchair. And it surely was not much fun for her. Nor was it much fun for him, because they had been, you know, a couple who did not too much together, but they did a few things together. And so here, with all the money that they had and all the ability they could have, they could have been traveling around the world, taking off, let's say, 2 or 3 months every year to tour the world and let somebody else run their business, because their business was quite successful and had good people running it. But they felt the dedication to be there, to be there. And they wanted to wait until they retired so they could travel. Wait till they retired, till they could do these things. Well, now is the time for all of the things for us to do in life. Not wait. I admire the Swiss who take a vacation every 3 weeks. And they just seem to have a great time in life. And they have a lot of money. And they have a lot of ability to do the things they want to do. And you say, how can that be? Well, even Stefan Stressley, who has been the president here at the University of Healing for a number of years and has been a monk here for maybe 18, 20 years, a fantastic man. Well, he is back in Switzerland doing treatment work and doing practitioner work and doing teaching work, as well as other things. And he doesn't earn a great deal of money from it, but he earns enough. And what does he do? When he wants to, he just dashes off to the Canary Islands. When he wants to, he dashes off to Africa. When he wants to, he dashes off to America to visit us. When he wants to, he does all the things he wants to. He has a lovely apartment, a nice car. He has the ability to be where he wants to be and do the things he wants to do anytime he wants to. Now that's not bad. And that's living on the leash. The leash that he has is to his spiritual life. The leash he has is to his feeling of not security, so to speak, but a feeling of belongingness. That's the right word there. As Rex belongs to me and lives in my world and in my house and in my life, so Stefan belongs to his spiritual oneness, and he lives in that oneness, in that spiritual life that he has. Now, how do we, you and I, handle our world? Are we on the leash to the things that are important to us? Are we on the connection to our divine self? Are we truly aware? I go around the world teaching the idea of unconditional love. And I go around the world teaching the idea of living in the awareness of meditation and introspection. Now, it's not just one. You meditate. And when you meditate, you're meditating about the things that are important to you in life. And then, after you've meditated, then you sit quietly and you listen to your divine inner self speak to you. As we would say, let go and let God. You listen to God speak to you. Well, now, God is in you, and when God is speaking to you in you, then you're really having a good time. But when are you going to start doing that? When are you going to start listening to the divine in you and listening to God in you share with you all the things that you want? There's a charming little story here about a turkey that is about a parrot. And the parrot was not very nice. And it was sent to me by our dear friend Mary Willett. And it was sent to her by other friends of hers. And it's a story that goes like this. Have a good Thanksgiving. A young man named John received a parrot as a gift. The parrot had a bad attitude and even worse vocabulary. Every word out of the bird's mouth was rude, obnoxious, and laced with profanity. John tried and tried to change the bird's attitude by consistently saying only polite words, playing soft music, and anything else he could think of to clean up the bird's vocabulary. Finally, John was fed up, and he yelled at the bird. The bird yelled back. John shook the bird, and the parrot got angrier and even ruder. John, in desperation, threw up his hand, grabbed the bird, and put him in the freezer. For a few minutes, the parrot squawked and kicked and screamed. Then suddenly, there was total quiet. Not a peep was heard for over a minute. Fearing that he'd hurt the parrot, John quickly opened the door to the freezer. The parrot calmly stepped out onto John's outstretched arm and said, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and actions. I am sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." John was stunned at the change of the bird's attitude. As he was about to ask the bird what had made such a dramatic change in his behavior, the bird continued, "May I ask what the turkey did?" Just a note of explanation there. He saw the turkey in the freezer that was all ready to be made for turkey dinner at Thanksgiving. And the parrot realized that that could happen to him too. We also are like that. We realize that when we have not the connection to our divinity, the connection to all the perfection and purity that we are, then sometimes we get a little bit out of line. And when we get out of line, then what happens to us? We feel sort of insecure. And you can be sure that bird felt insecure. The parrot thought, maybe I'm next for dinner, you know? And certainly it was not. But the thing is, that's the feeling we get. Now, are you next for dinner? Are you next to be shuffled off of this mortal coil of yours here? Are you next for having the insecurity of living your life in a very unsavory and undesirable way? You can, but you can also live your life in a fulfilled, beautiful, meditative way, if you wish. Instead of waiting to go on to your vacation trips, your retirement trips, do it now. Take 10 minutes, just 10 minutes every single day, and hug yourself and say, I like me, I like me, I like me, I love me, I love me. And just snuggle yourself and put your arms around yourself and see what miracles will happen for you. Because when you start connecting yourself with your divinity, with your loving nature, when you start connecting in that perfect way, you'll find that everything comes to you. Everything comes from you. Everything manifests in your life. Ingeborg was so proud to say the other day that she vigorously said, I'm independently wealthy, I'm independently wealthy, very enthusiastically, enthusiastically. And then the next day she got a telephone call telling her that her all of her medical and dental and all the other things, bills, were paid by the Medi-Cal or Medicare services, and that her approval had come through and her cash came through. So there she was. There she was. Before, she was spending a great deal of money for, not a great deal of money, she was spending some money for those things, and now she had no other things to spend. Being a monk with no income, it's rather nice to be able to not have to do that. So, you see, that's, if Ingeborg thinks that she's so darn good by saying, I'm independently wealthy and having that come, if she kept up saying, I'm independently wealthy, what would happen? If she kept up that enthusiastic, wonderful, dynamic way of saying, I am independently wealthy. Now, what about if you and I say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind. You see, we don't know what ideal is. All we know is that it's the best. But we live in our ideal spirit, mind. And we keep saying that, keep saying that. To say I'm independently wealthy, you don't know what that means. You don't know how that's going to come, whether it's going to be in money or whether it's going to be in paid bills or whether it's going to be in whatever. You just accept, accept, accept. Now, you're independently wealthy means you have money to do the things you need to. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body means that your body is perfect, that all the cells of your body, all the joints of your body, all the actions and functions of your body are in perfect divine order. Now. You see, we can go and buy all the patent medicines in the world, and we can go and buy all the advertised junk in the world, and doctors say it is not really worthwhile doing it, of course. We can buy it, and if we believe it works, it'll work for us, but it does not work of itself. It does not work of itself. An aspirin works of itself. It is not a placebo. An aspirin can be a placebo when you say that it works in areas where it might not work. I no longer have my mental anxiety. So, you see, an aspirin doesn't take away your mental anxiety. An aspirin just takes away any physical pain that you may have. And if you feel the aspirin takes away your mental anxiety, well, then you're putting a new score on it, and it's something that is not clinically shown that is taking place. But it's okay. You say, I am independently wealthy. Now, how does that make you wealthy? Well, what it does, it changes our consciousness to bring that wealth into our life. It changes our attitude to bring that wealth into our life. Until we say, I'm independently wealthy, we will not be able to accept wealth from all these forces and courses and directions. And when we say that we are independently wealthy, then the floodgates of heaven, so to speak, which are within us, open up and reveal it to us. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, opens up and reveals it to us. But, you see, we have such a cluttered life. We have such a cluttered life with, I'm going to retire, and then I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to have money put aside for a rainy day. And then you sure enough get those rainy days, you know. You sure enough have those problems. And I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't save money. I'm merely saying, don't save for a rainy day. I'm putting aside this money because I like to see it grow. That's kind of fun to see the stocks and bonds zip up to the heavens, you know. Sometimes they fall back down again, too. But we like to see it zip up to the heavens, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, if you're living a cluttered life, now is the time to unclutter it by putting into motion. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am independently wealthy. I like me. I unconditionally love me. I hug me. I hug me. I hug me. Now, some of you have been telling me that you had physical problems. And I'll say this to you. I don't care. I don't care if you have a hurt or a physical problem. I will only say to you, I will give you the solution to your problem if you wish. But if you don't take the solution, if you don't take the pill, you cannot have the result. Now, what is the solution for a physical body that's not feeling too good? It needs love. Your physical body needs love. Do you hug your body, unconditionally love your body? Do you give yourself that energy massage? Do you say, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love every time you sit down to eat, and everything you eat, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love? Every time you take anything into your body, do you say that? You see, when we do that as a habit, and that's a good habit, we will have perfect bodies, happy bodies, healthy bodies, wonderful bodies. And why not? Why not? Because that's our choice by the words we use, by the phrases we use, and the things that we say to ourselves. So today, let's live an uncluttered life. Let's not clutter it with all sorts of stuff like saying, I'm sick. Clutter it with stuff, I'm whole and perfect. I'm fantastic. When I see Rex walking on the path and grabbing a weed from the side of the road and then making out of that weed one of the most wonderful circus objects you could ever imagine, throwing it up in the air, twisting it around, doing this, doing that, jumping here, jumping there, like and next month he's going to be 1 year old on December 5th. But the thing is, he's fantastic. He's just an amazing dog because he loves himself and he's happy. And when you rub him down, oh, he just lays over on his back and says, do my tummy. You know, I love you, I love you. You know, now, do you ever rub your tummy? Do you ever lay down on your back and just rub your tummy and just feel good? And you say, well, that's sensual. Well, certainly it's sensual. It's sensual in the most desirable way it could be sensual. It's not sexual, it's sensual. That's a big difference, you know. So let the sensualness be you and enjoy it, because your life is so cluttered with all the thoughts that things aren't going right and people don't like you and all that nonsense. Let's have it be cluttered now with the good thoughts. And that's not cluttered. That's called paved. Paved with good thoughts and happy thoughts and harmonious thoughts. Well, have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.